Now, the most well-recognized modular construction is a single-family residential modular construction, otherwise known as manufactured housing, or depending on where you grew up, if you grew up like me in small town Texas, you know it as the trailer house. It's a trailer home. So that's really the most popular form of modular construction, and that is modular construction. It's constructed one place, somebody tows it out, they set it up wherever the home site is, and they go from there. We're not going to spend a lot of time on manufactured housing, but it's regulated under Chapter 1201 of the Texas Occupations Code. It's addressed in the Business and Commerce Code. Anyway, what I want to talk about a little bit is the types of projects that it's used on other than manufactured housing. And so modular construction these days is used on a lot of different projects. You have multifamily projects, you have condo projects, commercial projects, hotels. If you can think of a project that has a repetitious type of a component to it, multiple rooms or, you know, multiple assemblies or something like that, you can find modular construction. So just to give you sort of an idea of some of the things, you know, what this looks like, you know, and it can be all kinds of different things. It can be everything from on one side there you see like a heating component, you know, plumbing circuit thing. On the other side over here, I'm not sure exactly what these are, but they look like little living spaces. Then you see here how they get delivered out to a project site, and they basically put them in place, and somebody's job is to go along and connect whatever pipes and, you know, things that need to be connected together on these projects. And so they can be, there's a lot of uses to them, and that's what you begin to see more and more these days. And so a little bit about them. It still requires design services. So somebody still has to put together the specifications, the design for it. It could be the owner by hiring an architect or an engineer. You could still do what's called a design build, and you can hire the contractor to do the design as well as do the construction. And then you run into some issues, though, potentially, and that is potential application of multiple states' laws. So if you have a scenario where you have a project that's located in one state and components that are being manufactured in another state, there are some issues there. So, for instance, right now I'm helping a client who is building a project in the Dallas area, but a lot of it is going to be manufactured in Florida. The components can be manufactured in Florida. So we've been working on the subcontract agreement with the modular constructor. And so you come up with issues like limitations period. If, you know, where did the breach occur? Does the breach occur, if a breach occurs in Florida, you got something different than if a breach occurs over in Texas. You got repose periods that could be different. You have statutes and local building codes that could be different. You may have, you know, there may be a local building code where the module's being constructed that's different than the local building code of your project that you're building. You have different types of safety workers' comp requirements. In Texas, you know, we're a non-subscriber state. And while the big contractors all have their workers' comp program and they all do it, there are smaller contractors that still don't like to buy workers' comp insurance. And so you can put in a contract that you have workers' comp, you know, comp insurance as required under state law. Well, in Texas, that means something different than it does in Florida. You have other things like indemnities. So we have an anti-indemnity statute in Texas that says, you know, in a construction context, here are certain types of indemnities that cannot be required, but we carve out exceptions, for instance, for employee injury claims. In an employee injury claim, you can still have a broad form indemnity where a contractor has to indemnify an owner even if the claim alleges that the owner was negligent. Well, that's not true in all states. So if we have a worker that gets hurt in Florida, how's that treated differently than a worker that gets hurt in Dallas. So you have different things that you have to consider on these. And one of the biggest ones is insurance. Now, I know just enough about construction insurance to be dangerous because I'm lucky enough to know a couple of guys here in Texas that I think are the two best insurance lawyers in the country when it comes to construction insurance. And so I rely heavily on them for answering my questions. But insurance is such a critical component, and I would think to lenders that they want to make sure that the insurance is in place and as well. So, because consider this, you have millions of dollars potentially of building components that may be stored off-site for the majority of the project, and then they're shipped. I mean, what could go wrong, right?